For those of you who find yourself in such places as I do, you will have heard over this past week priests and pastors complaining about a difficult gospel reading, asking themselves what can they say about these very strong and difficult words of Jesus. Now, they may not admit it publicly, so I can do it for them. They're all lying to you. The reason I say this is because they love passages like this. We love passages like this because it's Jesus' affirmation that all the difficult things we preach and teach, all the times we ask people to show up to church when it's inconvenient to them, Jesus here tells us that's what the kingdom of God is. Forget about going to get your groceries this morning and come to church, I'd say. Forget about going to support somebody for a birthday party. The kingdom of God is here and now. You can see why this would work very well. Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. Come and follow me. Don't look back from the plow," he says, "for then you are not fit for the kingdom of God." They play coy here, but what they really want to do is dive in deep and say, "When I ask you things over the next few months, it's for the kingdom, so I expect you to do it, and do it now with a smile on your face." But I find it really difficult for myself hearing these words of Jesus, but not because of the strength of his words, but because what Jesus is trying to once again remind his disciples of. We have this sense that Jesus is talking just to some people as he's walking down the road. But we know what happens with these disciples who at one minute want to call down fire from heaven to consume the heathens who do not accept Jesus, where next they will scatter when they're even asked, "Do they know him?" Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something here, not about condemnation towards other people, not about trying to gain a sense of holiness and piety above other people, but to be reminded that the kingdom of God starts when they start to believe and trust not only who God is, but who they are in God. Jesus' call to his disciples was always about that they would come and follow him. He never gave them a list of 20 things that they were going to need to do when they signed up, but he needed them to come and know who they were in God. The reminder of scriptures, which makes our scriptures so very different from many others, is it's about continually rooting ourselves in that place of understanding, that we begin not as beings of action, but as beings of the beloved. We do not start in a place where God is looking to get enough out of us to make it worthwhile, but by reminding us over and over again that in God, that in God's life, in God's love, in God's eyes, we are welcome, we are the beloved, we are first and foremost the children of God. And I can say this not because I'm trying to do loopholes around what the scripture is offering us, but because the lectionary writers and compilers have actually given us a real strong point to begin with here. If we read the gospel alongside of our Galatians reading, it stands for, it begins with, "For freedom Christ has set us free." Now, the difficulty is when you read this one apart from our gospel reading today, we begin to actually impose, whether by our own standards or by those given to us, a sense that actually God has freed you from other slavery so that then you can be a slave to God. Now, there are biblical references to this, and Paul likes to run us around in many different circles, asking ourselves sometimes where we find ourselves. But the truth is that it is freedom that Christ has set us free. So when you find yourselves, whether it's in a church or outside of it, feeling a yoke of oppression, a yoke of slavery, the Bible is telling us here that that is not of God. So when Jesus challenges his disciples to keep their eyes facing forward, to be mindful of who they are meant to be looking towards, it is not an oppressive, burdensome thing. It is about remembering who you are and where your life comes from. Keeping your eyes facing forward, following that path that God has laid out for you. And in this reading of the Galatians, which I had to laugh that Austin got Jonathan to read, that great list of the works of the flesh, which are so obvious, He's asking you to take notice, Jonathan, but, you know, work out the things of the Spirit and other things will follow along. But there's this contrast for us here this morning about where we actually know when we're following God. We know we have signs, we have evidence, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which comes up among us in our lives and our communities as testimony to what God is doing. And that we are indeed keeping our eyes on the right way, following in the right footsteps of Jesus, building up and being part and participants of the building of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we find it so easy, I find it so easy to actually prolong these things. I say things like, you know, fruit takes a long time to grow, doesn't it? So we plant a seed, we do a lot of hard work, and one day we might get and bear that fruit. But the problem with that is then we begin to so push that forward into the future that the ends of what we're doing begins to justify the means. And many of us, I'm sure, have had experiences, whether in the church or in the wider world, where someone has said, I'm doing this because I love you, and it feels the quite opposite of love. And even when you grow older, you reflect on it and say to yourself, I'm not sure that was actually as loving as what they thought it was, because it never felt like love. So for us today, as we sit and as we pause in this scripture, as we hear the challenging words of Jesus about where our eyes are focused and who we are indeed following, what is the kingdom that we are building, we are given time and space to reflect and ask ourselves, not just about how we can build these fruits of the Spirit, but actually also asking ourselves too, when was the last time we experienced the fruit? When was the last time we find ourselves surprised in joy or peace? In our gatherings or in our prayers, perhaps in fellowship or sharing of a meal with somebody, you felt that sense of something more than what it was. Something that was about a life beyond what that moment could have represented. That question for us about how we know and how we understand and how we find ourselves challenged and also monitoring in some ways where we are and what we're doing comes very simply because we're following the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. So Paul says, let us also be guided by the Spirit. A spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we see these in line with Jesus' continual challenge of people that they are meant to live deeply into the lives that they have been given, deeply into the places where God has placed them and where God is using them already in their very midst, it is the Spirit that draws us deeper into those moments to make those places of life not just for ourselves, but also for others. We will, Jesus promised us, inherit the kingdom of God, but not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God is doing and inviting us to join in with. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Over the past few months, in my own reflections of my life, I felt a sense of a lack of energy or a loss of momentum within myself. I've felt like it's been hard sometimes to find a sense of purpose and direction. Sometimes it feels, even for me, that all I do is go through the motions and wonder what's the meaning and purpose of it all. I'm reminded here in our words this morning that it is not about who I am and what I am doing, but it is about who I am when I am in the presence of God. It is about who God says that I am, not what I do to prove myself to others or the rest of the world. And it is God who welcomes us all into this space to be reminded of the truth and depth of our lives, a life that is found in that eternal welcome, love and acceptance of God. And when we begin first in and with God, then those other things begin to find themselves and find their place. where we can, proclaiming the kingdom of God, stand and be with those who need to bury their own dead. We can stand and support those who are plowing their fields and doing the work. We can hold up and support those who so desperately want to follow Jesus to the end, but can't always figure out the way. And when we do it together, led and guided by the Spirit, we will find not only our own lives, but our community continually bursting forth with signs of fruit that grows much quicker than anything I can make happen. And it will be the signs of the Spirit that guide and direct us and which bear witness for us of the life that we do indeed have, a life of freedom in God, a life of welcome and forgiveness, a life of love, a life of hope, a life of joy. And for me, I say this, and I'm sure for others it might resonate as well. This is a life I very desperately need. So I come once again to look forward and follow Jesus, to be fed and nourished in the presence of God and fellowship with you, my brothers and sisters, that we indeed may live by the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit, and bear witness to the love and life of God through the fruits of the Spirit, which are indeed among us this day. Amen.